Hey team, Richard Greer here, CP Coach. We're here for episode 3 of our Quick Connect podcast, a weekly episode where we keep you up to date of what's going on in our Team CP world. And there always does seem to be a lot of different stuff happening. We've got a really cool show. I'm going to chat to a couple of awesome guests shortly. But before we do that, just a quick rattle through stuff that's happening that you might be interested in. Across the course of winter and the next wee while. So our adventure squad, we talked about that with Fiona a couple of weeks ago, currently taking registrations for the next few weeks. Check out the website if you want to know more about the dates of the 5th of May, 16th of June and the 28th of July. A great way to get into the hills and do some exploring every 6 weeks and keep you honest during winter. We've got our Coast to Coast Skills Day that we talked to Tim about last week in Auckland and Christchurch on the 7th of April. If you've just got one of those Coast to Coast golden tickets, that's something you need to jump into. Other thing that we haven't actually spoken about, we're just about to start promoting it, but this will be a first is the May the 4th, our Team CP quiz night is, and our end of season awards is happening as well. So bring your partner along and we're going to have some fun there as well. So just circle that on the calendar. May the 4th is our end of season party. Pace runners. So for the Christchurch Half Marathon and Marathon, which is coming up soon, if you are keen to kind of support others, be involved in the event, if basically what the job is there is we run a set pace and help people do a particular time. We need pace runners for an hour and a half, an hour 40, an hour 50, 2 hours and 2:10. And basically you're looking to run, if you can run 140, well, then you'll be a pace runner for 150. So we can, so you can be comfortable and help others around their particular goals. So that's a fun day out for the Christchurch Marathon, helping those guys. And then the other thing, final thing for on the bulletin board, daylight savings is coming up, I'm sad to say, but which will change our Thursday run group to a different location. Our Wednesday road ride and our Sunday road ride will stop, and some people will be excited about the fact that our Wednesday evening Zwift session will be back on the cards as well. So only 3 weeks of that left as well, but so keep us posted, ask some questions if you want to know more about that stuff. So David Rumble, we're going to have a chat to David, someone I've coached over the last 6 months or so. He's a mountain biker, came on board with the goal of completing the Waka 100 in Rotorua last year. A goal that he achieved and actually had a pretty awesome time doing it. So we're going to have a chat to him about that. Straight after that, though, he threw himself into training for the Motutapu mountain bike ride, an event he completed just a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to have a chat to him about those adventures, the summer riding and everything else in between. But before we get to David, we're going to have a quick chat to Team CP coach Grant Guise, who's recently come on board our coaching team. Grant has a wealth of experience in the ultra running world, competing in ultras all over the world and finishing at the pointy end more often than not. I'm sure he's probably going to dispute that, but I guess it depends on how you define that pointy end. But he's pretty handy runner. Grant more recently has picked up mountain biking and specifically got into the world of bike packing. Loves getting up with some adventures with his family and getting and doing some exploring as well. So Grant, are you back there? There we are. How you doing, Grant?
Hey, good, Richard. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How's it all going at the moment? Pretty cool to have you on board the team. You've done lots of different stuff, but how are you finding sinking your teeth into a bit of coaching?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a good challenge for me. It's something, I'd had people ask me over the years if I'd be into coaching them, and it's something I definitely shied away for quite some time. But yeah, I guess coming into the Team CP, infrastructure family, it's been great. You know, it's probably the same reason that people are attracted or drawn to Team CP as an athlete is probably the same reason why I'm drawn to it as a coach. So it's been good. I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So let's just get a bit more background about Grant. I'm sure you've got some stories to tell with all the different stuff you've done, but so let's just talk a little bit about ultra running, looking at your profile and the stuff that you've done. So race distances all over New Zealand and overseas. I'm going to say this because you're not going to, because you're not going to blow your own trumpet. But first in the Rootburn Classic, Avalanche Peak, you've done the Australian New Zealand Skyrunning Series, the 125K Canadian Death Race, which I think you might need to talk to us more a little bit about. Mount Difficulty, podium places in Tarawera 100 and the 100 miler, Northburn 100 miler. The list goes on and on. Hong Kong 100K, Hard Rock 100 mile as well. She's a pretty epic list and pretty awesome to be out there just exploring, eh? What, tell us a little bit more. What do you enjoy or have you enjoyed most about that whole ultra running scene?
The exploring, the adventuring side of it. I guess I've always been, competitive streak, mostly with myself, but obviously, with others. So I always enjoy competing. It's like why we don't play board games in our house too often, because it gets too competitive. I really got attracted to the trail running and the mountain running and just getting out in the hills. Like I did a lot of backcountry skiing, and then going to those places, the same places in summer, was really like a big appeal, just to get out on the hills. It's like, wow, this is just as cool in summer as it is in winter, but I've got like, it's warm and I've got way less crap to deal with, and I'm not going to have to worry about being, caught in an avalanche or something. So that was probably how I first got into the mountain running, and originally not at all attracted to ultra running, because I thought it seemed kind of silly to run through the night, and I didn't understand why people had big backpacks and they all had like trekking poles. I was like, that's not running, that's just silly. But as you got more and more into it and realized like this big adventure you can have, and over like a really long period of time, and it's almost like a big just a big exercise in problem solving, where you're like, you've got to run, but then you've got to fueling becomes more important, and your gear choices, and how you've got to run through the night and the lighting, and there's all these different things. And yeah, as I got more into it, that just became really appealing, and it's just such an adventure, all these places you can kind of see. But I'm also kind of lazy, and I don't want to do anything like multi-sport, because there's too many, or adventure racing. There's all these moving parts. I like keeping it simple. So that's where doing those longer 100-mile races became really appealing.
I don't know if lazy is probably a way that you'd sum that ultra running up, but...
simple. I'm simple. I can only focus on one thing at a time.
Point me in the right direction and I'll keep running there. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did gloss over a little bit there, though. You did mention skiing and stuff, and that's kind of where this all sort of started, almost, ski mountaineering races, and took part in the 2008 World Ski Mountaineering Champs. Think Tour de France of ski mountaineering. Tell us a little bit more about that. Yeah. That sounds pretty epic.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was pretty much self-selected, because New Zealand doesn't have a federation for that. So it was quite an amusing time. We were in Europe for a winter, and I'd done quite a couple of winters in North America, and had gotten into ski mountaineering racing there, which is kind of, I don't know, it's like if you combine skate skiing and like downhill racing, I guess. I don't know, not big mountain skiing, like not, but it's all, it's off-piste. You're going uphill and downhill racing both. And that was really cool. That was definitely what got me into that whole like backcountry, getting out in the backcountry, and did the World Champs, which is pretty funny. And then did the Puramento, which is actually happening right now. Which is very cool. If people, 8-9 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to live stream follow stage 3. It's a 4-day stage race, teams of 2. It's amazing. It's like by far the coolest race I've ever done. That was really cool. After doing that, I was like, what am I going to do over summer? Because, I'm a ski mountaineering racer, but we're not going away this winter. And I was looking around what other ski mountaineering races did, and there was this this guy called Killian who did a lot of trail running and mountain running. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that guy seems like he's a pretty good ski mountaineer racer. I'll just do what that guy does. I'll just do it a whole lot slower and a lot less of it. but yeah, so then eventually after about 3 years of not going away during the summer, I resigned to the fact that I was no longer a ski mountaineering racer and actually just a trail runner. So yeah, it's kind of how it started, I guess. But yeah, that's an epic sport. Good job. Really good job. Fun. Yeah.
Oh, good. You might need to put that link for us so I can have a look and others might be interested in.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it'll look pretty weird if you've, it'll look like a pretty weird sport if you've never kind of, with no context, if you don't know what you're looking at, but it's good fun, yeah.
Yeah, good job, great. Hey, I'm going to rattle through a bit of a quick five questions to throw at you to finish up. Definitely lots more to chat about in regards to the coaching field. We'll have you back on in the future as well. But, right, what's your favorite event you've ever done? First one.
It's probably the Pyramenta, which I just talked about, which is a ski mountaineering race.
Good.
Yeah, that would be my favorite ski mountaineering race. Favorite running race? There's lots, actually. I don't know. The Root Burn, I love that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Quickfire. Hard Rock 100. Yeah, there we go. 100-mile race.
Okay, good job. Yep. Favorite dessert, what are you going for?
Favorite dessert. I had a really good Ben and Jerry's ice cream last night.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know. It was like a new limited release flavor. It wasn't the Banoffee one. Don't get the Banoffee one. Banoffee's terrible. But it was another Ben and Jerry's that just came out.
Good. Yeah. So you're an ice cream fan. That's part of the reason why you're on board. Fancy meal or a home cooked meal?
It depends. I don't know, man. It depends. I really like if it was like the burgers at Moon Underwater. I'm a big fan of that. But I like cooking, so I'll stay at home cooking meal. Yeah.
Okay. Good job. Favorite snack to eat while out on an adventure?
Potato chips.
Okay. Right. And your favorite place if you were going to go for a run, where would you run to?
Ooh, favorite place? Arthur's Pass. Although it's mostly walking out there.
Okay, nice. Good job. Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Fantastic to have you on board our coaching team. You're going to have lots of great stuff to share with our athletes across the next wee while. And look forward to sharing more from you in the future as well.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks for having me on board, Richard. Cheers.
Excellent. Well done. Cheers, Grant. Thanks, heaps. Nice work. So, Grant, guys, within our coaching team, if you're interested in working with us, you don't have to work with me. You don't have to work with Fiona. If you're like, Grant sounds like somebody that I like to learn from, just let us know that and we can direct people in that that particular direction. We've got some skills across the board with our whole team, which is pretty cool. But before we go too much further, we're going to have a chat to David Rumble. I mentioned him at the top of the show in terms of what he's about. So David, come in. How are you getting on?
Good, Richard. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, so good to catch up with you. It's been heaps of fun working with you. It feels like we've learnt lots across the last wee while. So I guess as part of that and part of those big ticks that you've made in those boxes of the Waka 100 and Mata Tapu is pretty much the reason why I want to have you on to sort of share some of that learning and share some of the adventures that you've had along the way over the last wee while.
Certainly. Happy to do that. There's been plenty.
Yeah, good job. How does it feel with those events done, being on this side of it now? Have you been able to relax or are you itching for more?
I'm definitely way more relaxed. They were, for different reasons, the Waka was something that I thought I was never, ever going to be able to do. And the Mata Tapu was something that I thought I could never, ever actually race.
Two
different things. Yeah.
So tell us a bit more, like, I guess the why. Why did you feel like you were never going to be able to do that? Tell us a bit more about your background and how long have you been riding mountain bikes, etc. for?
So I'm 54, and I picked up and bought my own first mountain bike when I graduated from university. So that was like when I was 24. Nice. So it's a wee way back.
A couple of years ago.
And it was a gold-colored Trek 5000 of all of the bikes, you know. An old dinosaur, these bikes.
Did it have suspension? Did it have some suspension
the front, or was it fully rigid? The first model of suspension in the front. And I think it had travel of like 50 mil or something like that.
Well, that's good though. That's awesome. That's a flash bike.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was very good. Our family's always been high performance orientated. I don't even know why. We just have been. And so I always felt like I'd supplied one half of the genes and never really achieved anything in terms of sport. and my wife Steph had. And so, of course, life, work, everything went through, did family. And then finally, when kids were old enough, I thought, I'll start doing biking again. So I got back into mountain biking when we came back from London when our first son was born. So, you know, that's 24 years ago. And then it's been a very slow burn until I picked up the phone and bit the bullet and called Richard.
Okay, just like that. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
So what were your main challenges leading into Wacker? Because that was the first goal, wasn't it? Can we actually finish this Wacker 100 thing? Because it's a big job. I didn't realize sort of how big and hard it was until I've sort of been up there a couple of times. I've done the 100 a couple of times, done the 100 miler, then this last year did the 50. And you're out there all day doing 100, aren't you? Like it's a long way riding your mountain bike on all those technical trails through the forest.
I mean, the biggest one for me was I knew that I needed a coach. I couldn't wing it. I couldn't put the formula together. I'm not, you know, uneducated, but I just couldn't put the formula together. I didn't know if I actually had a body that could do it, you know, stuck in that mentality that everyone's got to be a racer. And I remember when I, you know, saw your advertisement on the Wacker 100, when I decided that I would hit enter, and I thought, well, you fool, you're either going to enter this race underprepared or you're going to actually talk to someone who knows how to prepare you. And then I realized when I'd finished my first call with you, I realized, oh my gosh, what have I bitten off here?
I was supposed to be confidence building. That's disappointing. Okay.
Well, it was internal. It was internal. Yeah, it wasn't, I wasn't left with a lack of confidence from you. It was genuinely what my biggest stopper was. I'm not capable. And so therefore I've existed and I'm not capable for 20 or 30 years where everyone around me was achieving, my sons, my wife, whatever, and my daughters. But all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, now I've actually got to show that I'm capable.
And that was quite confronting. Why are you saying that? Like what's the reason behind that? In terms of I'm not capable of doing this, is it the fact that I've, like, because you've got some injury background as well, or was it that, or was it actually I just haven't done anything as big as this before?
I think it's I definitely haven't done anything as big as that, where you actually have to properly organize yourself. You can't do it 70% because you only get 70% out. So therefore I'd never 100% committed. I'd gone in lots of other events. My wife and I raced mountain bikes before we had children. She went up to high level. I got stuck at sportsmen. And on sportsmen, I never trained properly. I never ate properly. Okay. I always winged it, you know. And so therefore, I was confronted with, oh my gosh, you're not going to get to wing this anymore. You're going to actually have to pay attention to the detail or you won't finish this race. Full stop.
Fantastic. So tell us, like, with your Waka 100 experience in the weekend, do you have any tips for others in terms of how your ride went, how your training went, etc.?
Well, maybe we'll talk to the training first, because mm-hmm. how the day went, I can 100% say the day went 100% plan, even though it wasn't plan A. And to everyone out there, there is a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E.
Yeah,
and I did not complete my plan A, but I completed half of my plan A. And so that mm-hmm. all came from the training, 100% from the training. So if I could say training-wise, I enjoy training more than racing. I don't actually know why. My wife commonly says to me, it's weird.
I think a lot of people do actually enjoy the training process more than the actual racing side of things. I think we like that's the goal and that's the thing that gets us out training, but it is it's nerve-wracking, isn't it? Like standing on the start line and actually doing that. That's the day, that's the time you have to do it. It's a lot of us do enjoy that process. So it's definitely pretty common, I think, out there.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thoroughly enjoyed the way that, you know, Team CP orientate the program that I picked up, which is the one-on-one with you, and how is your week? This is our structure. What is your week looking like? And so then I started figuring out and paying attention to the elements that I had to do, which were sleep well, make sure you're eating well. Are you fueling with water to start with? Because remember, if you can remember back, I just couldn't get my fueling right. I just didn't know. Yeah. I didn't even actually understand fueling. And so then that, I just trusted that that would come. But it was also the head game for me. Training trained me to turn off these silly stories that I would regularly have in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's too steep. Oh gosh, that's a long way to the top. Or gosh, I'm having to pedal too hard here. Or can I keep pedaling this hard? You know, all these silly little conversations. And the training taught me to be able to park those conversations. It just happened. There wasn't a magical moment. I think there would, if I could think of two moments where the training parked those, when you made me do a simulation ride in Hanma, if you can remember, where you sent me to Hanma, that was the goddamn hardest 6.5 hours I have ever experienced for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And
made you ride to Hanma. Just go back.
Oh, sorry.
Make you go to there.
Okay, no, that's fair.
That's okay. Yeah.
I volunteered the challenge of going to Hanma because I knew that I needed to test out whether my conversations would come back. And yes, you're correct. It was certainly not a make me do, but it is something that I would go with anyone who needed someone now to go do a trial ride in Hanma before the Waka from the South Island, because it is about the closest, I believe, it's about the closest terrain you'll get to the Waka in this sort of central North Island access. That's my feeling. And then the second piece,
I was just going to say that basically building confidence out of that I can do some of these things is a key part out of your training.
100%. And it hurt, but that was what it was meant to do. And it was inside my training. It wasn't like I was outside of the training. The second part was overcoming, you know, this is not going to plan. And as you mentioned, you know, are there things that have stopped you? Well, you might realize I had a high speed crash and broke my thumb.
Yes.
And so I broke my right thumb 4 weeks out from the Waka. Practicing cornering on the mountain bike, at, you know, 30 kilometers an hour. So I wanted to figure out a bit of technical thing, but I was technically deficient in that and fell off and broke my thumb. And so I had to figure out that, because there was no way I was going to let a broken thumb stop me from 6 months of, of training. And part of it was I didn't want to let myself down. Part of it, I didn't want to let my family down. But part of it too was I felt like it would undermine all the training and coaching that I had received. You know, it all sort of loops. You know,
which is I mean, it's tough though, isn't it? How did you actually, so going to race day, how did you deal with a broken thumb? Because 4 weeks is marginal to get things back right again. And your thumbs are quite important when you're riding your mountain bike.
Yeah, it's back to that plan A through plan E. I had mentally taught myself, I'd physically went to the physio to learn how to strap a broken thumb. So I needed to do that, so I didn't make something worse in the face of, you know, choosing to go. I then practiced what I could do with my thumb. So it was all about the physical bits. It was all about what I was limited to doing. And I knew that my major restriction on my Scott bike was seat dropper. It's left thumb. It's a high lift. And I just knew, so I'm going to have limited seat dropping capability for the whole of the Waka. And I managed that better in the second half of the race than the first half.
learn about what you could do and what you couldn't do. That's awesome. I want to jump forward to the Motutapu, because that's something that you've just finished. I've actually got a little the video of your Waka right at the finish line, just as you finished. I managed to catch you. So I'm actually going to share this right at the end. You may or may not enjoy that, but it's pretty awesome.
It's always embarrassing across the finish line.
It's so good. But tell us about the Motutapu. The goal was there to actually go there and not just survive, but actually see if you could try and race and see how well you could go. Tell us about, I guess, your day, how you managed to execute that for yourself.
So I had a day plan. The day plan wasn't plan A, because unfortunately my wife was unable to be there to get me to the start line as a driver. So I used the transport, and the transport was another element that I had to figure out, because, you know, is your bike going to get damaged? How are you going to go? I don't travel well, so I get motion sick. So my day started 20 minutes before kickoff feeling ill due to being car sick or motion sick. I had a process. Had I drunk enough water? When am I going to take my gel? Is my gel going to be taken on time? I'd made a decision that I was going to race Motutapu without the assistance of caffeine. So I did gels without caffeine. First time I trained this, but before that I always relied on caffeine. I used a warm-up that we'd been through before, which is all about explosive pedaling. Noticed that things weren't quite right with me on the morning, but the weather was beautiful. The day was perfect. The temperature was 18 degrees. It was racing day. And I realized, you're too bad. You might not be able to do your plan A here, but this is a racer's day. You've trained to race this. Get on that start line and race. And so I showed up in my chute, which was 3 to 3.5 hours, looked to my left and thought, stuff this, and climbed into the 2:45 to 3 hour lane to make me just race. So I pushed to the front 50 and I left in the front 50 of the 2:45 to 3, but that wasn't where I entered. Off we were. And I had the plan. There was a plan. And the plan was as simple as attack every hill and pedal hard on every flat. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. That was my most basic plan. And I tell you, I seriously did. My heart rate proved it.
Yeah, good. You definitely achieved that. That's awesome, isn't it? And how were you feeling as you crossed that finish line through Mata Tapu?
It was exhilarating again. It actually really was, because I wasn't able to stick fully to my plan because I got bad cramp at the 44K mark, but mm-hmm. I executed everything else to the letter. I took on every hill.
Awesome.
I drank my water. I ate my fuel when I needed it, and I found a group of riders that I could stay with and actually excel in a mini skill set inside them, as well as knowing that I wasn't better than them in other skill sets. So it was actually quite rewarding to race in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's never awesome, done before. That's brilliant. So to summarize, do you have a top three things you've learned over the last sort of 6 months or so for you, just as a sort of bullet point summary?
I've written them down.
Oh, you have? So, okay, good. Let's hear them.
Because I thought that's the most important thing to get accurate. So training to a plan actually works.
Okay. Yep.
Full stop.
Plain and simple. Good. Okay. That's number one.
Training to a plan. Done. That was my most important one because it did. You made it so I didn't have to think about it. But I trusted that each of the elements would add to a point in time when I realized, okay, shit, yeah, the plan works.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, that's good that we're talking about that now. Yep. What's number two?
Yep. Second thing. Rest is misunderstood and underestimated.
Yeah.
Knowing that I could just take a rest day if it just didn't feel right was so rewarding to do.
And I think we got those. I think we dialed those in pretty well towards the back end leading into Mata Tapu, didn't we? Just to make sure that you were going well when we needed you to be going well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a real trust thing with that. I would never have trusted that before. I would have overtrained.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, the third thing was trusting that you can train all you want, but if you don't put the right amount of water in and fuel in for your body for what you're going to ask it to do, it can never deliver on that, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, good. That's great advice. It's a nutritionathon a lot of the time, isn't it? If you get that right, well, then you're able to ride and run and perform to your potential.
Definitely, 100%.
Brilliant, brilliant. Nice one, David. What's next for you?
I think for me again is just training. You know, so because I enjoy going out and training, I quite like having a go up Rapaki at full speed now, whereas I would have dreaded it before. Thank you, Richard, for giving me a rather sadistic side now. technical training, because I'd like to be more confident with some of the technical elements of my riding. So I want to do more technical bits, but I now know that I'm fit enough that I can hold fitness. So that will be my second thing. And I will have a go at the night series that's at McLean's Island with guys that are very fast night riders. And I know that I've now got enough speed and endurance that I can push and at least see if I can hang on. Deficient in technical skills, but we'll try.
And that's brilliant, isn't it? Great to have a little local series that's going to happen on a regular basis that you can sort of look to try and build through, and night racing so much fun, isn't it? Whipping through the trees, it changes the trail.
It calms you. So it's because you can't see anything else. You've just got black, and except for where your light is, and so you, in a way, you're sort of like in a movie theater, but you know, where there's nothing else. There's just what you see directly in front of you, which actually is quite nice. It just removes the rest of the world for at least that 45 minutes of discomfort, you know?
Hey, good stuff, David. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to, as I mentioned before, we're going to finish off with the end of the Waka and what that was like. And you said it went to plan, not necessarily plan A, and we'll find out right at the start of this video of why it didn't. I think we got to know a couple of trees quite well early on. So that's pretty awesome. But hey, well done on your training, on your racing. Yeah. You've turned up. You've challenged yourself. You've learnt lots of stuff. You've gone and put it down and had an awesome couple of days. So congratulations, and I hope you're still basking in your glory from the last few weeks.
Oh, certainly will. And again, I want to reiterate that I'm a big backer of your program and what you offer and how it gives you room to just match it into your life. So I appreciate that. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you, David. I wasn't sort of coming on board here to do the sales, but I think you've done a pretty good job of that. But no, appreciate that. And hopefully
thanks, Stu.
Yeah, good. And hopefully you've learned something if you're listening or watching this as well. So we'll catch up soon, David, and all the best for the next adventure.
Excellent. Thanks, mate.
Good job. Nice work. Hey, a big thank you for David and Grant for joining us today. Make sure you enjoy your adventures, stay safe, keep in touch, and if there's anything we can do to help, just feel free to reach out. And as I mentioned, let's finish off with David at the end of the Waka 100.
With the support crew, Zach.
Yeah.
100Ks, just done.
Yeah.
How was it?
Mate, that was tough. That was super tough.
You're pretty happy by the looks of
it. I was happy because it was my goal to finish.
Yeah.
And I finished and I'm standing. So that was my goal.
Yeah, good. You had some hard bits out there.
Yeah.
What was some of the keys?
Three crashes.
All right, okay. And a bit of a double flip, triple flip?
I did a triple flip. Okay. It was spectacular.
Right.
My daughter Poppy, who's a gymnast, she'd be very impressed by my flip.
Okay.
My next one was catching a tree.
Okay.
So I was out there with nature.
Yeah, they tend to jump out at you
sometimes. This one got me and I held on until a guy pulled me off it.
Okay. That's very good.
And the rest of it was all about cramp and soreness. And wondering why I'm doing it.
But what was the vibe? What was the vibe with everybody else out there?
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, lovely lady gave me a salt tab when I needed it.
Yeah.
I gave a guy a gel when he was just poked.
Cooked.
He was cooked.
Yeah.
And then every time you went past someone, they'd go, good on you.
Yes.
Every time, someone went past you, you went, good on you.
Yeah.
And you just gave away on the trails.
Yeah, good.
That was great.
Yeah, good.
It was good vibe.
Awesome. Yeah. And Zach, you've been cheering Dad on today. How
yeah,
it
yeah,
been
yeah.
Your perspective?
I've come down the Arvo to watch them. So we've been waiting around. I actually, you don't know, I hired a bike and tried to go find you.
Oh, did you?
But I had to bring it back because they closed at 5.
Oh, I wasn't on time. Shit. I needed to get here sooner.
You weren't on time.
It was too slow.
But no, he made it. He made it. He's done
it.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks to this man here. The programs are good. They work.
We'll do a high five.
You bet.
Go and celebrate. Well done, team.
Cheers.